Howdy, Hillsboro. That's right. You know what time it is, man. It's Sunday, and we're here at 97.9 The Hill. You don't have to be from Hillsboro to enjoy this show. In fact, we're trying to introduce Hillsboro to the rest of the Chapelboro listening segment. We're here to tell you all out about it. And my name is Eric Pruitt. I'm a crime fiction author that hangs out down in Hillsboro. And I'm joined here with my partner in crime, Alexis Bravos, a massage therapist. Howdy, Alexis.
Why do you make a face when you say massage therapist?
Well, what kind of face do I make when I say massage therapist?
Like it's not real.
Well, that's because I thought I was a masseuse, and you just told me that that's like an offensive word to use on massage. I just learned that, so I'm trying to relearn.
It's just an outdated word.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
Anyway.
Welcome. Welcome to Howdy Hillsboro. We have a guest today, Will Davis, the former poet laureate of Hillsboro and current badass all around.
Oh, we can curse. I like that.
Well,
I don't know. Can we say that word?
Well, Jada will come along and edit it out if we can't. We'll find out.
Anyway, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you too. Not just inviting me here on your radio, but just every time I see you, the smiles or the snarls that are followed by smiles because they're very scripted. I love it every time. You two are very cool.
Although you did tell us before we started recording about the time you saw Alexis without a smile, which was a fun. But anyway, we won't go into her road rage stories.
We'll talk about that next time when you all see us at Yonder.
Yes.
For the last Friday.
We'll tell you about that story.
Why don't you tell us your bona fides? We like to talk about Hillsboro folks here. What's your Hillsboro bona fides? What do you do out there in Hillsboro to add to your community? We know, but listening people don't know.
Well, what I do to add to the Hillsboro community is I try my best to bring joy amongst the community. I really try my best to do that. I'm a teacher in the community. I teach here in Chapel Hill at Emerson Waldorf, and I am a basketball coach at the Sportsplex. I do a basketball camp there that's been happening for the past 2.5 years with my friend London Webb. We coach kids from the ages of 4 to 10 years old. And then a little bit after that, we transition to little older kids from 11 to 15 years old. So my contribution to Hillsboro outside of the arts is really trying to encourage the youth. Myself being a person who was a kid, like all of us were kids before we thought that we were grown. I feel like there were some people that possibly could have been a little bit more encouraging in my life. So I try my best to put that hat on a lot of places I go with basketball and with teaching. And outside of that, as my friend said, I'm a badass poet. I travel around on a typewriter and I type poems for people right there on demand. I left a wedding a little bit ago. I had an opportunity to be a resident poet at Princeton University. And that I feel like that springboarded from that poet laureate opportunity that my good friend Tom Stevens in 2016 presented me with. So Hillsboro takes care of me, and I take care of Hillsboro in regards to just trying to be a stronghold in the community.
It's an excellent answer. Thank you for that. So you teach at the Emerson Waldorf School?
Yes, I do. I teach 8th through 12th grade.
What's the deal with those hippies?
I hear that a lot. Clearly, you know, because that's like the prelude. Everybody says that. But Emerson's made me a nicer person. Before, I was working at Emerson Waldorf, and I still am a very direct and straight to the point person, kind of built that way, and I don't mind it. But there's times where you can ease up and plans don't have to be followed and standard can be adjusted. And Emerson reminds me of that on a regular basis, not only from the tutelage that is taught there, but the way that the faculty approaches students, the way students approach faculty, the beautiful campus. So what's up with those hippies, to answer that question, is that they're aware of feelings and being more than just a traditional model of education or educators. So it's just a little bit more aware and embracefulness. I'm pretty sure you've seen that before, a lot of embrace with the Emerson Waldorf community.
Absolutely. I mean, I say that, and not in all seriousness, joking, but as a mother of a elementary age child who is in public school and struggling against the bonds that public school can impose on kids. So I really love that Waldorf model.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. When I first started teaching there, I had a problem with it, not necessarily of the motto, but it just was different to see the way that somebody moves. And one thing that I've learned this year is I'm enjoying disagreeing with things that are good for me. And there's been a lot of meetings or just a lot of opportunities throughout this year teaching where I didn't agree with any of it. I still did it. Then afterwards, I grew from it. not necessarily just from being disciplined to follow the task, but what that task brought to itself that I would have easily never have done, and was like, oh, I see how this cultivates a little bit more inside of someone.
Do you have an example?
Oh, for example, they do this. I don't necessarily know the name of the festival that they do, but it's the beginning of May, just welcoming May. And they have the elementary students like run around this giant 20-foot pole with ribbons in their hands. And like the first graders go clockwise and the second graders go counterclockwise. And it's just this unison of everybody dancing and singing, and the whole school from the high school all the way to the elementary school, everybody just stops and does everything and just watches what they do. And for example, I had a lesson planned that day. I did not know that was going to happen. So I really had something I was excited to teach about, and I couldn't because that was going on. And then the next day, students were still following this May Fest where they were doing another whimsical thing that I was a little irritated by. But afterwards, the next 2 weeks, everybody was so calm and joyful in the way that they approached the lessons. And it really just woke me up. Like last week, these students were very combative to the lesson. And just based upon reflecting on the welcoming of the good weather and making flower crowns and watching these young people smile and really be uncoordinated in this coordinated way, it really made them focus back on their education. And they were telling stories that they remember when they did that. And yeah, it was wild. There's another situation where I was really irritated this year with the 12th grade students. They're about to graduate on Saturday. Congratulations to them. And we're working on this project. I didn't necessarily think anybody was ever doing it. So mad every time in my class. I've had to teach this class all year. I really don't think I've seen anybody do much work. But at the end, the work was done to its entirety better than I even expected. And it was weird. Like, where did y'all get this work from? Because I didn't see anyone contribute to it. But they were doing it on their own time. And that was the weird part. Like, here you have class time to do it, but you really don't care about it, and there's really nothing I can do about it. And they're like, well, it's all right, Mr. Davis. And it was all right because they really did the projects. And some of them were making podcasts or painting murals on the schools or molding their hands in this clay and sand dripping out of it. And a young man built a treehouse for his brother. Another young man made a RPG game, like the Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Like another young man made a photo book. Another young man followed me around towards the end of his senior year. I gave him a typewriter. So he was archiving his typewriter experience, and I didn't even know he was recording it. So a lot of the things I was like, let me see your work. Let me see your work. Public school mindset. Let me see what you're contributing to the day. But the end result was so much more vast than I could have ever given them.
Dude, that's awesome. If y'all just join us, we're here with Will Davis, the former poet laureate, and so much more out there in Hillsborough. We're going to keep talking to him, and we're going to come back. We're going to ask Alexis some questions, or you guys are going to ask Alexis some questions. We're going to pick them out the pickle jar and answer them for you. And we're going to be joined by Will, so y'all stick around. We'll be right back.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow. I like Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in my city.
I'm Charles Blackwood, Sheriff of Orange County, and 97.9 The Hill is my hometown radio station.
Welcome back to Howdy Hillsborough on 97.9 The Hill. I'm one of your hosts, Alexis Bravos. I'm a bartender at Yonder Bar and also a massage therapist, as Eric pointed out earlier. He is my co-host, Eric Pruitt, and we're here in the studio with Will Davis, a wonderful poet and teacher and all-around good friend. And we are here to answer your advice questions. This is Ask Alexis. And I'm going to answer all of your questions today. So, Will, do you want to help me out?
Oh, I would love to. Okay. I like questions.
All right. Here's the first one. Dear Alexis, we have a lovely farm and two young children, but I would like to live downtown where we feel closer to a community. I fear it will break my children's hearts to move. There are acres to roam. How do I face the guilt of such a big change? That's a very serious question. I feel where you're coming from. because I moved around as a kid. And actually, when I was in high school, my parents moved to another state, and I elected to stay behind. And I think the thing about young children is that they're very adaptable. And I think if you take them to a community where they're going to be able to walk to see their friends, that all of the kids that I know really appreciate that about living in a neighborhood with other children. Whereas if you're out in the middle of nowhere, they can't do that. So I would just do it and tell them later, you know, like move in the middle of the night. And when they wake up, they'll just be there. What do you think, Will?
I think that as parents that we forget that kids don't matter. And I really mean that in the sense of not being as harsh, but when we were kids, we were told what to do, not in the sense of following that scheme, but we were guided. And then we become adults and we have kids, and then we're guided by our kids' lives. So where is an option for our own free thinking? And it really takes away often when people have kids, because they move around with, what do my kids think about this? Or how are my kids going to react? And when we were kids, it was all about how our parents thought about us and things of that nature. So where is the time for our own thought without considering somebody? So I think that if your first thought is to move, you should move and appreciate that and respect it, because one time your kids are going to be adults and they need to be able to respect their opinion and their own thoughts without needing to be validated or affirmed by somebody that they're taking care of. But that's just my opinion.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, my kids have bigger concerns like, A, who is my daddy and where is he? You know, because they ain't found me yet.
I'm working on that. I got an APB out.
You got a couple kids that come to Yonder all the time and look at you like you're their dad. So I see it.
In fact, my own son came in that one time when my kid came in and you got scared for a second.
Yeah, they're going to find me, but not yet.
All right, let's move on. Dear Alexis, my doctor called me, quote unquote, sweetie. Is it okay for doctors to use terms of endearment? Well, that's personally never happened to me, but I have had the experience where a person who is clearly younger than me has called me dear or sweetie. This is like a person behind a coffee counter or a server if I'm eating in a restaurant. And I find it incredibly offensive, actually, because they don't know me. I'm not anybody's sweetie. And also, if you're younger than me, I feel like that's like, I find it disrespectful. And if it's a doctor, I want to know, is your doctor older than you or younger than you?
Where's his
name?
And
is it a male or female? Is this a male or female doctor? And are you a man or a woman? And there's all kinds of weird power things here.
I mean, if it's a foot doctor, okay, but like, you know, there's certain medical disciplines there that they shouldn't call you sweetie, right?
Where's the professionalism in that?
Yeah.
Where's the professionalism?
I say that exact phrase every day. Where's professionalism in this?
Yeah, where's the professionalism in this? There's a standard to some things, and as a doctor, it needs to be followed. I always get offended by what you said as well. I'm 35, and I don't look like I'm 35, whatever that means, but I hear that. And I was just playing basketball in Raleigh, and some guy kept calling me nephew. Like, nephew, pass the ball, nephew.
Was he on your team or the other team?
He was on my team. He just kept calling me nephew. And afterwards, like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 31. And I was like, how old do you think I am? He's like, you're like 26, right? He's like, nah, man, I'm 35. Oh, man, what's your name so I can stop calling you nephew? It's like, yeah, you that would have been the greatest. Call the number on the back of my jersey before you just try to associate and relate to me based upon these hierarchy principles, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is just trying to level up on somebody, sweetie.
I told you, Layla, this is phenomenon going right now. Yeah, that like dudes are coming into the bar asking me to say, hey, I'd like a cocktail, young man. Hey, how about an old-fashioned young man? And every time they're younger than me, clearly younger than me, but they keep calling me young man. And I'm like.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, it's like a strange power thing.
Next question, sweetie.
All right.
I agree. It's a strange power thing. Did you call her sweetie?
You caught that?
Yeah, I seen where his hands was. They were on your feet, so it was all right. That's what I learned from that.
Okay, let's
the teacher is learning things.
let's move on. Here's one on a piece of paper with several questions on it. So we know who this is. Dear Alexis, how do you know if you're thinking out of the box? I don't even know how to begin answering this, but I think it's a really interesting question.
If your thoughts don't end. They just keep going.
Yeah.
That's the poetic answer, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of poems, is it true that if I give you a word, you'll just write a poem on the spot?
That's what I do. That's what God gave me.
I'm going to think of a word and I'm going to give it to you later.
Oh, yeah. I have to be in front of a typewriter, though.
Why?
It's just how it works.
So Did you bring your typewriter? I don't see a typewriter.
I do. I have one in my car, but I didn't know that I was going to type one on. I would have loved to do that. That could click and clank on the radio. Folks would have probably enjoyed that on the station.
All right. Well, we have a break, so maybe...
Well, we didn't get the sound effect guy in here.
Yeah, so what she's referring to, I travel around with a typewriter, and I type poems for people on the spot. And listeners, I can't wait to give that to you. That's a little prelude to that, I guess.
All right. So let's move on to another question here. Let's see. Dear Alexis, is it okay to be a nudist without blinds, signed naked at night?
100%. Keep your eyes out of my house. That's what I enjoy that. That's what those cool windows are for. Those are for confident people. And sorry to answer your question, but that one spoke to me.
Yeah, he was passionate.
I tend to agree during the day, but she signed it naked at night. And I have to say, I walk my dog at night a lot. I live near downtown Hillsborough. And if a house has their windows, their blinds or curtains open and their lights are on, I can't help but look. It's just a natural thing to look into someone's house. I'm not a peeper.
You're a peeper.
I'm not a peeper.
At that point, though, from the street, looking at someone's house, it's at that point like a silhouette. You don't necessarily get to see the full fledged to be offended or even amused. It's just, oh, I saw someone naked. It's just like, it's that quick, right?
Well, it depends on what you're doing in front of the window, I guess.
Yeah, then you're watching them.
Yeah, I mean, and it's if you're a natural born human, you've already imagined what this person looks like naked anyway. So it don't matter if they're standing in front of their mirror or not. You've already kind of seen it. You know what I mean? Next question. One more.
One more. Okay. Let's see. Here's one. Newly single, dad bod, thinning hair! ! Give up or ask the female bartender at Yonder on a date.
It's oddly specific. Why you gotta be female?
That person doesn't have any confidence.
I'm gonna say, I know.
I
feel tender feelings for this person. At the same time, I would say, just as a general rule, never ask anyone out who can't run away from you.
Mm.
You know, a bartender is a captive audience.
Yeah.
I have to stand there and at least serve you if, you know, you're not clearly inebriated. So,
and you're not supposed to ask somebody out that you see on a frequent basis, because even if it goes good, then the consistency makes it go bad.
What do you think, Eric?
Well, I'm still trying to get my head around that. Don't ask somebody out if they can run away from you. So it's just like you open a cage door and be like, you go out with me? I don't know. I've got Buffalo Bill vibes.
You unlock their leash real quick.
Yeah. You know, it's like, leave my dog alone. I don't know. I got nothing.
All right. I'm just going to say don't do it, although I'm sure you're a very nice person.
But you can go out with them at Yonder while you're working and, like, you checked off two boxes at once.
I can go out with them while I'm working?
Real quick.
I don't think I'm allowed to have that dual relationship.
Just real quick. Like, hey, I'm about to go take an imaginary smoke break. We just dated. You're happy.
Wait, do I get a smoke break?
No. Hey, no. She ain't union. She's like a union. Hey, we're gonna run here. So if we still have sponsors left, we're going to let them have a word. And then we're going to join you right back here in just a minute. Y'all stick around.
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. With mates and dates and friends, that's what I do at weekends.
Your hometown radio station, 97.9 The Hill, where Hillsborough listens. Streaming live on chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Howdy Hillsborough here, 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. This is Eric Pruitt, and I'm joined with Alexis. We're here to talk to y'all about what y'all can do when y'all come over to Hillsborough. This week, the last Friday's coming up, but before we get to that, I want to tell everybody loves Carrboro Film Festival. Everybody around the area loves Carrboro Film Festival, and everybody misses the days when there was a movie theater in Hillsborough. Well, guess what? You get both of them this coming Wednesday. That's right. This is the first of three Wednesdays throughout the summer where the Carrboro Film Festival will be hosting a set series of films at Yonder Southern Cocktails and Brew. That's right. You come on down to Yonder this Wednesday and you can watch a block of comedy films from the Carrboro Film Festival. It's going to be a lot of fun. But guess what? That's not the only thing you got to do this week, because this week is last Friday. last Friday. It's a big Friday in Hillsborough every month. Alexis, tell us what's going on this last Friday.
Friday. The Hillsborough Arts Council presents last Friday's Makers Markets on the old Orange County Courthouse lawn, featuring over 15 local artisans selling original work and several community groups hosting demonstrations to share about their cause. Rotating live music or entertainment is scheduled to complement the market. The Orange County Historical Museum will offer an art making station related to their What's Your Flavor exhibit, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, which depicts the many ways cooking is an art and explores the heritage cooking of Orange County. Find them near the Hillsborough Arts Info booth on the old Orange County Courthouse lawn. And a collaborative new addition to the Art Walk, the Burwell School Historic Site, invites you to explore life in the 19th century, a historical pop-up exhibit at the Masonic Eagle Lodge. Take a step back in time and learn about daily life in the 1800s. Entry is free, held at the Historic Eagle Lodge number 19. And Eric, what's going on at Yonder?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked that, Alexis, because guess what? We like to do live music every Friday and Saturday from 8 to 11, but especially on the last Fridays, we try to make sure that you need to bring an extra pair of party britches because one of them is going to get messed up. This Friday in particular, we have Ghost and Bones, and man, they got those jam band vibes that everybody loves. We've had Ghost and Bones so many times. People really, really like to get down and naked to them. But speaking of getting down and naked, you know what else goes on the last Fridays? Big poetry moments. I'd love to tell you all about it, but I got somebody else here who can tell you even better, and that is the host of the last Friday poetry segments, Mr. Will Davis, Endless Will. Tell us what's going on last Friday with them poets.
How's it going, 97.9 The Hill? This is Endless Will. That was pretty cool. That was very impromptu. But the last Friday event, I cannot wait for you all to experience. Law Bullock, he is a phenomenal author and poet and all-around nice guy out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. He'll be driving down to share some poems. I also have Hassan Bird, this amazing North Carolina Central University graduate. He'll be sharing poems throughout Hillsborough as well. And what we do, we put our poetry powers all together and we combine and we say our mantra of good vibes and good energy and calm thoughts. And we walk around Hillsborough to Yonder, Tom Stevens Gallery, Margaret Lane. Sometimes we go over to Colonial Inn. Sometimes we go over to the old courthouse and we just share poems. The goal is to captivate as many folks that we can get to listen to us with our poetic prowess, our haikus and stanzas. And we literally just shout out our passions and things inside of our brains to the crowd. A little quartet, 1, 2, 3. Also, I'll have my typewriter set up. If you give me a word, Alexis and I hit on that a little earlier, but you give me a word and I'll type a poem for you right there on the spot. That's been received very well. So I think I'll continue to do that as well in the last Fridays.
Man, yeah. Last Fridays is fun, by the way. If y'all ain't never been to one, y'all going to want to come down there because it's the art walk. You know, find yourself a parking spot. Good luck. Get yourself a parking spot, grab you something to eat, and then go and enjoy all the many Hillsborough art galleries, the roving poetry, the live music. I mean, Hillsborough is a really, really artistic spot.
It's growing. One thing that I keep hearing from folks who used to live in Hillsborough and they come back, like, oh, Hillsborough didn't used to look like this. And I think that's a sentence that needs to continue to be spoken because that shows growth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You see that on the little online groups all the time. So, this ain't the Hillsborough I grew up in. Like, sometimes that's an angry thing and sometimes it's a good thing. But yeah, I agree. It needs to be said. Needs to be said more often.
There needs to be some growth in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Well, if y'all aren't too hungover on Saturday morning, you can hit the Hillsborough Urban Garden. That is located near the farmer's market off the Riverwalk between the Okanichi Speedway and the Okanichi Village reconstruction. They're out there from 9 to 12 every Saturday doing garden work, and it is free to go to volunteer. You don't have to be a member. There are no fees. You can go. You can weed. You can water. You can take produce home with you. It's a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, and Jesse works there, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get you some produce, get you some Jesse every Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Before we go out, Will, can I ask you one more question about poetry?
Of course.
So we mentioned earlier that I have a 10-year-old, and I'm just wondering about poetry for kids. What would you recommend to have a kid read who is interested in poetry? Like, where would you send them?
I would get you to get your kid to write about poems first, really to get them to experience poetry on a bad day, like when you really piss them off and like you can tell, and get them to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
Write that down, write those thoughts down, and then challenge them to put some rhyming words after they've already written it and get them to understand that what poetry can do. So then as they read it, they have a better understanding of what they're reading. from that expressive standpoint. But just to throw poems at kids, I noticed from a teacher standpoint, they really get bogged down by just another thing to read.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get an understanding of the meaning and the context and the intent behind a poem, they're so much more receptive to it. And then they can read poetry books like Basketball. There's a really cool mm-hmm. poetry book called Basketball, where it's written about a young man going through his life trying to be a middle school basketball player, and is written in prose. So that would be a good introduction. But it could be super rhymey and overwhelming
mm-hmm.
if the context wasn't there.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Will. And you know, you want to see some more Will, come on down this Friday. You know, the full schedule will be posted on the Hillsborough Arts Council's website. We're here at 97.9 The Hill. Alexis and Eric, howdy Hillsborough. See y'all next Sunday.
See you next Sunday.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 poetry. Appreciate
I don't
you.
Care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday, I'm in love.